Welcome to welcome back to Are We Enlightened Yet? I think I almost nailed it. How are you, Sid?
Getting better every time. I'm really good today. It's just one of those days. I've been blasting Kanye West all day today, and it's just one of those, I don't know, I'm feeling just very energetic and good and just high-spirited today.
Is Kanye one of those, like, musicians for you that just like, yeah, really?
I have like a soft spot for Kanye. Like, some of his music is just like, you put it on and it's instant mood lifter for me. And
that's
so
how I feel about Eminem.
Really? Yeah, I love that.
I love Eminem.
I couldn't picture you as an Eminem
fan.
You
serious? Oh no. My god, I love it. When Gen Z tried to cancel him, I was like, get out of here. You can't cancel Eminem. They've been trying for 20 years. Yeah. It's not happening, guys.
No, I love Eminem so much. He's good gym music. He, like, really gets me pumped for the gym.
Yeah. Sweet. And life in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you?
I feel good, finally. I feel like I'm finally settling into the new year, feeling a little more balanced, a little more grounded, which feels good. I think I've had 2 weeks, knock on wood, that nothing has happened, so I think I got the three things out of the way,
yeah,
and it's smooth sailing from here.
Nice.
So
that's good to hear.
I can't complain. Things are good. I'm excited. It's Friday. It's the weekend. But we're bringing you a dating episode for Valentine's Day.
Woo-hoo!
I think it lands on Valentine's Day.
It should. Yeah, it should. Monday on the
We're just, you know, two single ladies here, batting 100 in the dating world. So we thought, why not bring you our tried and true relationship and dating advice that is clearly very successful for us.
We are experts in the dating realm, and it's going so successfully, so we figured...
Yeah. Why not tell you?
Why not let you in on our secrets on how to be single successfully?
Yeah, that's really it. I feel like my dating has just been... I've actually taken a very intentional break from dating for the last few months. I'm, like, starting to feel like I can do it again. But it just takes a lot of energy, to be honest. Dating, like, you actually have to be... Even if you're not being intentional, it still takes a lot of energy.
It's a big commitment, like, to date someone. Yeah.
Just to get ready.
Yeah.
To go on a date is the problem. It's not really the dating part. It's the getting ready part that I'm like, yikes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your dating world like?
Right now it's non-existent, but I kind of like it that way right now. I feel like I have so much on my plate, and I just don't have the time to or the energy to put into another human being right now. Like, that sounds selfish, but it's
it doesn't. I think that's smart.
I don't know. If you knew me, like, in my elementary school years and my middle school years, I always had a boyfriend, and I was always that girl who was, like, with someone, and I was just, I was boy obsessed, and I loved having a boyfriend and being in a relationship, and whenever I wasn't, I was always on the lookout for, like, the next thing. And then high school came, and I had, like, my first, like, real boyfriend, and that lasted for, like, 2 years, and then had, like, a couple, like, little flings here and there after that. But then I had, like, a 3-year long, or I guess I'm in the middle of a 3-year long bout of being single. And it feels so good to not be in that space of constantly looking for, like, that person outside of myself to, like, validate me. Because I was, like, that was, like, my source of, like, self-worth was being in a relationship. Like, I knew I was, like, doing good if I had a boyfriend, which is, we know now, that's so toxic.
Yeah.
But
and
that's been my dating journey.
That's fair. I'm a really, really big advocate for learning how to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huge. Like, when I date and have relationships, and then afterwards, like, I'm single for so long after. Just because, like, I'm like, okay, I have to work on, this is what I need to work on, this is what I need to heal, this is what I need to do, and I'm just not in a big rush. As much as, like, a relationship would be great, and that partnership and all of that is definitely something I want and I strive for, I just, or maybe strive is not the right word. When it finds me, I'm happy to bring it, take it on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going, I don't feel the need to seek it. Mm-hmm. I really like hanging out with myself, and I really like hanging out with my friends. And so, like, my life is fulfilled without a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I've, like, that's always kind of been my focus. because for the longest time I was like, you have too much shit to heal to date. So I've just always really prioritized and been the biggest believer in knowing how to be alone. Because a lot of people don't. I see a lot of people jump from relationship to relationship to relationship, even after like long-term relationships. And I'm just like, you are just bringing all the garbage from your past relationship into the next relationship. It's not just suddenly gone because it's a new person.
Yeah, because I think when we have our like those relationships, especially like the longer ones, or even just the situationships, we learn so much from them about ourselves, about our attachment styles, about just relationships in general. And if we don't take the time to actually process and integrate and like reflect on what that experience was like and what we learned from it, like we miss out on the opportunity to actually learn from it and then take those teachings into the next relationship so we can like level up, you know? And I think that's what relationships are meant to serve as, really, as tools for our growth and tools that we can use to just learn about ourselves and each other.
100% fully. Relationships are your biggest teachers. And it's actually interesting because, like, I think there's also, again, like, I can go on the side where I like being alone too much. But I was listening to a podcast, it was probably the Expanded podcast, if we're being honest, where they talked about how, like, you can heal all your shit alone. You have to get in relationship to heal it again, because it's always going to come up in relationship, because relationships are our biggest teachers. That being said, there was a lot of people who mindlessly go in and out of relationships, don't ever self-reflect on it, don't ever reflect on the experiences, the people they're calling in. And it's like, a lot of times I hear people, it's like, well, you know, like, I've learned the fucking lesson. It's like, you clearly haven't. Mm-hmm. And so many times I want to be like, actually, I think the lesson is for you to figure out how to be alone. Because otherwise you're just going to keep calling in the same pieces of shit.
Or if you can't, like, or if you don't, like, know how to be alone, it's like, you become so dependent on every relationship that does come in, and you cling and you settle for less than you deserve because you're scared to be alone.
Yeah. But the funny thing is in the, even if you know how to be alone, you can still do it, because then, because you're also so used to being alone that when somebody comes along and they meet half the list or a quarter of the list, or they give you a little bit of butterflies, which we'll get into, is it's like, you think, oh my God, I'm never going to find this. I'm never actually going to find the person that meets the list. So I'll just take this. So you can still settle because it takes you so long to get into dating or relationship again. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a really challenging, I think at the end of the day, it's just incredibly easy to settle in a relationship because we all have self-worth issues. We all think that we're never going to find the partner that we truly desire, that they don't exist. We all think that we're undeserving of love in some capacity. That's just the human condition. So I think it's actually just, it's really incredibly easy to settle in relationships because it's easier to be comfortable and not challenge anything and not rise up and not level up and not demand another human to level up with you, then it, like, it's easier to not do those things, right? Because if you're gonna demand somebody to level up with you and they don't want to, you have to make the decision to walk away. And that's really hard.
That is, because I feel like in those situations it's so easy to like self-abandon and sacrifice our values just for the sake of a relationship that's not even fully serving us, but it's, we, it gives us some sort of validation or a good feeling that's like so temporary, and we cling to that just because it's like we think that there's nothing else out there for us, and we're scared to venture on that journey alone and look for it. And it's
I am the queen of self-abandonment in a relationship. Like, this, that is probably my biggest downfall in a relationship, is that self-abandonment piece, because it's a whole host of issues, but like, it's terrible when you like get out of that relationship to look around and be like, oh my God, I have to find me again, because I just like completely, and I'm really bad for finding people that need fixing, like, and just like really latch on to my energy and like and then so I just like give in the name of being good enough for them. Like, I'm like, if I give them everything, that'll make me good enough, when really they're just, they're dating now a person that doesn't really have any sovereignty. Because you're just, like, living for them.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just so easy to self-abandon, and you want to be this, like, best version of yourself, but you think the best version of yourself is the person who, like, doesn't speak up, doesn't have emotions, isn't crazy.
The person that's complacent and easygoing.
Yeah. Just so, I'm super chill. No, I'm good. I'm good. Let's do, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Because you're just, like, you think that that's what people want.
Yeah.
But it's not. I don't know where down the line we were taught that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are. We're taught that, like, the chill girl is the person that everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see people with these girls and I'm like, man, she is a bitch. And I mean that in a loving way. And they're just like, and they eat it up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting to see, like, all the different, like, dating styles that are out there. And, like, the attachment styles and how they commingle and how they interact with each other. Yeah. And it's just like this weird dynamic of like the push and the pull and like the anxious attachment and like the needy people latching onto the people who are avoidant. And it's just like this weird dance, and they're both equally as like addicted to this relationship that feeds both of their insecurities and all of these things. And it's, relationships are one of those things that you could be so dedicated to your self-growth and you could be so far on your journey, but as soon as you enter into that relationship, like, everything goes out the window, because like relationships just feel more high stakes and you feel more exposed in them, and it's just so easy to immediately go back to that place of safety of hiding yourself or running away or attaching to the smallest things.
I feel like when you start to date, and you really have to get intentional with the idea that, like, that I'm gonna lose you before I ever lose me again. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just like, I'm gonna own who I am this whole time and just have to recognize that if you don't like it, you are not for me. Mm-hmm. So I can lose you so that I don't lose me. You have to go in with that mindset to just be like, if they don't like 100% of me, then, like, they have to go. I'm not playing small in this. And it's really challenging to do, but you just have to be ready to lose people. Mm. You have to be able to ready to speak your truth and know that there are going to be people that don't stick around for that. And it has nothing to do with you. It just means that they're not your person, and that's okay. That's really hard to do, though.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, an experience where you had to, like, really remind yourself of that, and like where you, or even where you learned that?
Here's the problem. I wait for people to break up with me. Because like, I know long before a relationship is over that it's no longer serving me, but I'm such a people pleaser that I can't break up with people.
Yeah.
So I just wait for them to do it.
Mm.
And then I'm heartbroken. When it happens, I'm absolutely stunned, even though deep down I know it needed to happen.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, because, I've actually had that to happen to me recently. And I think I touched on this briefly in a brief episode or previous episode where it's like, you know, it's not for you. You know, there's an expiration date to the relationship, but something inside of you just wants to, like, keep going on the ride. You know, you want to, like, push it until, like, there's nothing else to push. Like, there's you want to go right to the very, very end, which is fine. Like,
You gotta get burned.
As Lacey Phillips says, she's like, just walk into the fire until you get burned and then until you never want to learn that lesson again. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying yes to something constantly until it finally it has to, like, say no to you.
100%. But, well, it's funny, actually, that you say that, because my most recent ex, I remember saying to my best friend, like, I don't think, like, they're exactly that. There's an expiration date to this. And she's like, you can't go into relationships thinking that. And I'm like, no, he's going to leave me. it was just one of those things. I'm also not the best at trusting relationships, but I just kind of had that. And then when, of course, I was devastated when it happened, but truly my heart was broken. I'm not joking. And then, but it was so funny because, like, then a couple weeks later when my friend and I were talking about it, she brought that up to me again. And I was like, what? No, I never said that. Cause you're so delusional in your head that you're like, no, this is going to be forever. And then afterwards I was like, no, you're right. I did say that. I knew, but I just, like, I didn't want to let it go
mm-hmm.
because there is also still so much love there, but you still are just like, but like, it's not really enough for either of us.
That's the thing. It's like, you, once you form that attachment, mm-hmm. and you could like love them so much as a person, and you want to, you don't want to hurt them, you'll self-abandon and you'll stay with it just for the sake of like keeping things steady and not rocking the boat. But it's like your gut and like everything inside of you is telling you like you need to walk away from this, or this isn't for you, this isn't serving you anymore, like. And that's so hard to do, to like actually honor those little like nudges when they come up, because it's like that attachment is so hard to just cut off cold turkey, especially with someone who you develop that love for.
Totally. But I think it's also that it's hard to trust that feeling, because again, we all have these attachment styles, and we all, especially in relationships and dating, self-sabotage a lot of the times. So then I find too that you're just like, you're getting those pings, you're getting those like should I go, I think I should, I don't think this is for me, but then you're like, oh, I'm just self-sabotaging right now, this is me just trying to ruin a good thing. But then you're like, is it a good thing? I battle with that all the time, where I'm like, am I just self-sabotaging this, are my expectations just too high or whatever? And then you get out of it, and then you're like, oh man, no, they weren't. My expectations were too fucking low, actually.
Yeah. And you realize like you didn't even want it. You didn't even want the relationship in the
but you just
place.
You just grew attached to a human being, which is completely normal, and there's love there, and that's really hard to let go of. Mm-hmm. But just because there is love there and there's a human there and there's a connection there does not mean that they are the best influence on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deciding, I think, very truly, if I level up, are they coming with me, or are they going to stay the same?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get stuck in this pattern too, I think, of thinking that like you don't want to level up. But if you're somebody who's like really into growth, you need somebody that's going to meet you there.
Yeah.
Because if you enjoy growth and changing and working on things, and you're dating somebody who stops you from doing that, it already has an expiry date.
Red flag.
Because that's just who you are,
mm-hmm.
right? If you can't evolve with somebody, or that person's not going to evolve with you, learn your lessons and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, easier said than done, but like
obviously.
totally. When you're a person who like prioritizes your growth and who like actively goes on like personal development little journeys, you know, and you find someone and you might like click and like, you know, like something might hit off right, like great at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But if you notice like all of a sudden like there's like a plateau in your growth and there's like
you stop doing the things you like.
Yeah, like you literally start to again self-abandon, and you forget about the things that actually lit you up.
Yeah.
And you're sacrificing them just for the sake of this relationship. Like, that's a major red flag.
Just so you can be there for that person. Yeah. When it's like, really, but are they being there for you if you're not getting to do the things you enjoy?
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to like justify why we're not pursuing our growth anymore, or to make excuses for why we choose to settle, you know?
I think it is so easy. I think when it comes down to it, though, is the house we grew up in, our childhood, and then experiences through childhood, teenage years, right? Like, it's such a belief system, and I think that's like just ingrained in us, and until you actively start trying to change that belief system, and that worthiness piece, like truly believing that you deserve the love you want. Mm-hmm. I think until you truly believe that, all your relationships are going to be lessons, right? Because you're getting pulled along the timeline to step into your worth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why dating is so challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Because it always brings up your shit.
It does.
Your insecurities, any like everything.
All of it.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. I think for me, like one of the biggest things I've learned on it, which was in my like dating experience now that I'm having to navigate, is that the idea that butterflies don't actually mean attraction. Mm-hmm. It means it's anxiety. And I only say that because, like, I went through probably earlier in 2021, went through, like, a dating phase where I went on a bunch of dates. But I had done so much work on my social anxiety that I wasn't getting there was only one person that I got anxiety with, but I got anxiety because I was like, this dude is way out of my league. Like, I wasn't even going to go on a date with him because I was like, he's too good looking. I can't go. And so, finally I went, but I had anxiety for that one. And then all the other ones I didn't have anxiety for. And immediately I was like, oh, these people all suck. When the problem was, not the problem, but the thing was, is that I'd done so much work on my social anxiety that I actually just wasn't anxious in the situation. So I immediately was just like, oh, I'm not attracted to these people. But what happens is like, there's more coming out on it now that they're saying that like those butterflies in the dating situation is actually just the fact that you don't feel safe. And that likely reminds you of your upbringing, something within your home. So it actually feels comfortable. You associate anxiety and that like butterfly feeling with comfort because you're used to chaos. Right? So it's like we just immediately think that is physical attraction when really what it is you don't feel safe. And what's likely going to then happen is you're potentially going to step into some type of situationship, dating, relationship, whatever with this person, and your attachment styles are already activated. So you're fucked from the get-go. You know what I mean? Because you're not calm going into it.
Yeah.
You're so, like, you're, this person makes you so anxious that now you'll do anything to calm that anxiety. So you're self-abandoning from the, like, from the moment. You're freaking out over text messages. You're, you're worried about everything you're saying. Like, you're saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you think that that anxiety means that you're attracted to somebody, but it just means that you're fucking anxious.
Yeah. I remember being younger, and even like now when I'm like, if I do have like a suitor or like someone who I'm dating.
Okay, grandma.
And I'll notice like, I'll get the butterflies and I'll get like my heart rate quickens when I'm in their presence, or like, you know, I get like flustered and I can't really talk when I'm around them. Yeah. It's like, I used to, like you said, like, label that as, like, oh my god, like, I'm really attracted to them. Like, this must be, like, something worthwhile, because I don't feel like this around anybody, you know?
Totally.
But it's, like, yeah, you're right. It's so easy to, like, misconstrue that as attraction when it's actually just anxiety. Yeah. Like, if you got rid of, like, the mental labels around it, and if you got rid of the person, and you were just sitting there with all those feelings, yeah, that would just be anxiety, like, purely. Right.
Yes, and I understand people can spin it and be like, you need to label it differently. But it's not actually, you don't actually, because what's happening is your nervous system doesn't feel safe.
It's activated.
It's activated, right? Like, it's not, and like, I think most of us should be able to tell the difference between, like, oh, a little bit of excitement, and, like, that, like, butterfly anxious feeling. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's actually not a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's like, you're so anxious. And I think, those thoughts again, they just come and go from my brain. I think with, that calmness too, like, it's then it's really interesting to having to learn whether or not you are attracted to somebody without it. Without that, like, spike of anxiety the whole time, for weeks, like, without having that, trying to like navigate whether or not you actually find somebody attractive can be challenging because you've always equated it to the butterflies.
Yeah.
So then, like, if you don't feel it, you're like, I must not think they're attractive, when that's not it at all. It's just that, like, you just maybe feel a little more at ease with them, or you have less skin in the game, you're putting less pressure on the date. So, because then I do find as soon as there's pressure or you're, like, there's a worthiness piece, probably, again, where, like I just said, I had anxiety because I thought he was out of my league. There's that anxiety steps in. And then you just assume that, oh, well, I'm only attracted to that person. Where it's like, no, it's that you maybe didn't think you deserved to be sitting at that table. That's it. That's important, I think.
There's just a difference between anxiety and, like, just feeling, like, uplifted and excited over, like, being in, like, the presence of a person and, like,
that giddy feeling. There's a difference between, like, feeling giddy around somebody and, like, excited to be around them, and that, like, your attraction to them is attached to that, like, butterfly feeling. You know what I mean? Like, there's a very, I think we can all tell the difference. Like, I know when I'm, like, giddy around someone and because I'm into them, and then when, like, that butterfly feeling comes where you're just like, oh my god, this person's so hot. you know?
Yeah.
Or there's, like you just forget how to talk to humans suddenly. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I find you attractive. Suddenly I'm very stupid. I don't actually have anything to say. That's me. Like, if I, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, what do you think, what are you noticing right now in the dating world when it comes to just, like, things you're noticing that maybe need, I don't want to say issues, but I think are challenges when it comes to dating right now?
I mean, right now, specifically with COVID, it's there's a lot less to do and a lot less opportunity to, like, actually go out and meet people.
Right.
Because we're not going, or at least, like, if you're not vaccinated right now, you don't have access to just, like, go and sit in a coffee shop or go to clubs or bars or for restaurants. Like, you know, like, the dating pool seems a lot less lower right now. Which, in saying that, I'm thankful that I came across this support group, because I feel like that's kind of been my only way of meeting new people for these past, this past year. And I just noticed, like, when the dating pool is, like, smaller, people are so quick to force just, like, any relationship that comes into their field.
Right.
Just because right now, I think we all, a lot of us are craving that deeper connection and craving those, more intimate relationships. And so it's easy to just, like, fall in that, like, tendency to just clutch on to anything that comes into your field of awareness and just force it into something more. But it's like, I don't know. I think that's just what I notice right now, is people aren't willing to actually develop those relationships, and they're so quick to just make them into something that's probably not even, like, healthy or serving them. But in saying that, every relationship is a learning experience. It's all, like, teaching us a certain lesson. So if your lesson is not rushing through things or not forcing something that it's not, that's your lesson to learn. But
it's funny because, like, I don't really feel that way at all.
Yeah.
Like, but I think it's maybe because I'm at a different phase in my life where even if everything was open, I'm not going out every weekend. I'm not, that's no longer kind of how I socialize. And it hasn't been for a few years. So, like, I don't feel, and like I said, I like being alone. So I feel like I'm out of that phase of, like, craving. I've never been a big group of people person. I really like one-on-one conversation and small groups and stuff like that. But I think that's where, like, my relationship with, like, dating apps has definitely changed in the last few years. Like, I remember being younger and hating on them, being like, they're stupid, I don't go on this, everyone's gonna think I'm dumb if I have to do this, blah blah blah. Meanwhile, everyone's on them. And then, like, as I've gotten older, I'm like, well, I don't have a choice because I don't go out. Or I don't really go anywhere to meet people. Or if I do, like, it's just, like, a different environment. Which is, but that being said, like, I would, 99% of all my relationships have been meeting people organically. Mm-hmm. But I just think, like, dating apps get a really bad rap for that, where it's just, like, but then once you, I think, hit a certain age, you realize that, like, your life just really does change, and it's actually quite hard to meet people your age doing the same thing or interested in. Like, the pool just gets smaller and smaller, not because it's actually smaller, but because you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
And I also think, energetically, the pool becomes smaller when we are dedicated on this journey of growth and when we're working on being, like, our most authentic, real selves, because we're not willing to, like, put forth that mask anymore. We're not willing to, like, show up as fake as we used to be when we were younger, you know, when we were desperate for those, like, relationships.
Yeah.
We're actually challenging ourselves to show up as we are in our relationships, and that's not going to appease a lot of people, and that's not going to reflect in our outer environment with, like, these big groups of people, because not everybody is dedicated to that journey. And so if you are on that journey, I applause you. That's great.
And but, I also find
you do
that
notice
people
that
are on that,
the,
like,
dating pool is very small.
And because I also noted that the people are on a fake journey.
Mm.
You know, where it's like it's a ish journey where they stop at a certain spot and then that's it for them, right? They've seen the light.
Mm.
You're like, okay, that's not it. but I'm going to keep going and leave you there. Yeah. Like, I have found that a lot, too, is there's this, like, they want to be conscious. And this is for, like, men and women. Like, I see it everywhere where it's just, like, because being conscious and spiritual and all of that is trendy. So I think it is really hard when you're actually, like, truly in the work to find somebody that's going to witness you there. Mm. And that you can witness back.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really what we all want. It's terrifying as fuck to think about letting somebody, like, fully witness you. But I think at the end of the day, that's what we all want in a relationship, right? Is to be able to be truly seen by somebody and just held in that space.
Mm.
But you have to be willing to let it all crumble. Yeah. Like, you have to be willing to, like, lose it all in order to actually experience that, right? And then that means you also can't settle. And that is so terrifying. To think that, like, oh, I'm going to have to use my voice. I'm going to have to say when something upsets me. I'm going to have to ask questions when I'm feeling anxious.
I'm going to have to set boundaries.
I'm going to set boundaries. I'm going to have to listen to somebody when they're upset with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hear about potentially having hurt somebody. Like, no, we don't want to. That's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So that's where I think dating, like, we say we want these conscious relationships or, like, these different dating experiences, but then, like, nobody's actually willing to do, like, put in the work because we're also terrified of it.
Yeah, because there's this myth that the right relationship is going to be easy, yeah. But it's like, no, the right relationships are the ones that align with your values and where you want to go, and then you both are willing to put in the work mm-hmm. to make it work.
Yeah, which is hopefully easy. But it's going to be hard.
It's going to, there's going to be a lot of moments of discomfort because yeah. ultimately I feel like relationships should be those, like, they are pressure cookers for growth. And so mm-hmm. it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's like, ultimately it's work that's, like, satisfying and fulfilling on both ends. And you both feel like you're gaining something from it and you're feeding something valuable into the relationship yeah. and it feels worthwhile. And that
yeah.
process overall should feel maybe not necessarily easy, but just worthwhile and makes you want to show up yeah. to it even more.
Yeah. And I'm, like, a big believer in the fact that, unlike the Spice Girls, when they say two become one, that you are actually just,
you did not just Spice
Girls. yeah. It's actually just, like, you're two separate people on the same path.
Mm, yeah.
I do not need somebody to make me whole.
That's actually the one thing I hate about in the relationship world is they make you think that you're a half and you're looking out for your other half.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's not it. Because, like, you shouldn't need another person yeah. to complete you.
No, it just feels nice.
Yeah.
It feels nice to do life with somebody else. We're human. We want connection. We want intimacy. Like, that's human nature to want to be in partnership, whether that's, like, the 600 different versions of that exist these days. Like, it's human nature to want that intimate connection with somebody. So, yeah, that, like, idea that you have to find somebody in order to complete yourself, I think does everyone a lot of disservice, especially because, like, I have found, it wasn't even until, I think maybe it was this year or last year, I kept seeing, a few people, like, Instagram people I follow that I, like, really am inspired by, and they're in their 30s and both single, and they always get asked questions about being single and when are they gonna find a man and blah, blah, blah. And, mm-hmm. and they've all just said, like, I'm not focused on that. Like, I have bigger goals than that. And I think that's actually a really important thing that we need to normalize, especially for women, is you are not put on this earth to find a dude. Right? Like, it is perfectly fine to be single. Mm-hmm. It's, like, at any phase in your life. You are not lesser than because you are not in a relationship or you're not in love with somebody or somebody's, you're not dating. Like, you're not less than because of that. But I think we really need to normalize, especially as women get older. It is completely healthy and honestly a really good thing for you to have goals outside of finding a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually not normalized in our world. Mm-hmm. We are taught to, how many of us are like, I'm going to go to school and then I'm going to graduate and then I'm going to get married and then I'm going to have babies. And then when that doesn't happen, you're like, oh, I'm failing at my life mm-hmm. because I'm alone. When really that's, you really have to do the work to realize that, like, being single does not mean you're alone.
Yeah. I think that just goes, like, so deep, like, historically, just because, like, so many generations ago, that was, like, your purpose in life was, as a woman, was to grow up, turn 18, get married, have children, and provide for your husband and your kids. Like, that was, like, that was your job. But now we're in a world where women are seen differently, and we have different, like, societal expectations and roles, and we have, like, the opportunity and, like, the opportunity to have these different girl goals. And so, yeah, I think we get stuck in that trap of thinking that we need a husband to be whole. Our goal should be to be a wife, to be a mother, to be these things. But it's like, where's, like, the empowerment in that? Where's the independence in that? And it's, we forget that, to be a woman, it doesn't necessarily mean to be a wife, to be a girlfriend, to be a mom.
And I'm not, like, we're not banging on anybody who wants that. Like, I'm a traditional person. Like, I'm not saying I'm striving to be a wife, but, like, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to dating, relationships, all of that kind of stuff. There's no problem with that. But if that's not your journey, that is completely okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even if you want to be a wife, but you're still single, or a mom, but you're still single. single, like, just trust your journey and enjoy it, right? Like, you'll get there exactly when you're meant to get there.
Yeah.
So if you had to give one tip for navigating dating or relationships, what do you think it would be?
So I think my biggest tip kind of stems from my experiences of learning to finally be okay with being single, is to actually, like, focus on your growth, and to focus on, like, who you want to be as a person, and less on what you want to attract and find in a partner. Because, like, so much of us look outside of ourselves to feel worthy, and we look for that external validation, we look for that next relationship, or some of us that next
thrill,
something, you know. My biggest tip is just to take that energy that you spend so much like projecting outward, like, direct it inward and just focus on, okay, what do I want? What do I actually want to be as a person, and what would complement that, you know, and working to just
fulfill that.
Yeah. And, like, just exist from that space, and trust that when you get to that, like, energetic space of just embodying that naturally, which is a process, it's a journey to get there, you're going to naturally, when the time is right, organically attract that person in that matches that frequency exactly, you know. Like, it's, and that takes time, and that takes, like, a willingness to actually grow and look at yourself honestly and learn, like, the lessons that are showing up. And, like, if you do want to call in, like, that conscious relationship, a big part of that journey is being willing to be honest with what you want, and then say no to anything that doesn't align with that. Like, you will have relationships and dating experience that comes into your life, and those are learning lessons. You have to be willing to actually learn the lessons and take that action that aligns with those goals and values. So let's say if you want, like, a relationship where there's open communication and there's, like, love and acceptance and all of that, and then you're presented with this emotionally unavailable partner, your job in that instance is to say no and walk away from that, and know that you deserve more. You cannot settle for something like that just because it's an opportunity that comes into your experience. Like, that lesson is learning to say no to anything that is not matching with the things that you truly desire.
I think too, in that situation too, is if you want an open and communicative relationship, you have to be open and communicative yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, lots of times we want all of these things, and then we don't follow through ourselves. We find it too hard, so then we don't do it, but we expect it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not doing it, then why is somebody else? The universe is going to show us this at the mirror.
Yeah, right? That relates back to that piece of, like, thinking that someone else is going to come in and complete you. But it's like, no, like, if you're writing out a list of a partner of what you want, work on embodying that list yourself, and then trust that the person who will complement your energy when you're in that space will come right at the right time. But it's like you have to learn to be whole and to be that partner for yourself before you can enjoy the external reflection of that.
Absolutely. I agree. Mine, I feel like advice is a little... it's goes on communication, I think, and it's one that, like, I always need the reminder, but I'm always reminding my friends, is that, like, if you need to know, fucking ask, right? Like, how many times we're, like, texting or, like, should I don't know, like, this is what's happening and blah, 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 this is how I feel and yada, yada. And it's like, okay, but then if you need to, then ask. If you're feeling insecure, ask about what's making you insecure. You have to be able to just, like, be brave and just be like, you know what? I, instead of spending 2 days in a spiral questioning what the hell's going on, I'm just going to ask what's going on, right? And it's being able to, and knowing that, because we all do it, we're like, we text our friends, we're like, can I say this? You can say whatever the fuck you want, right? Mm-hmm. And trust that if that is your person, it doesn't matter what you say. Mm-hmm. Because they're your person. But that is a really hard thing to do. But I think for me, and it goes back to that idea, if it's costing me my peace, it's too much. And usually that means me having to just bluntly ask a question instead of just, like, beating around the bush about it or trying to be anxious for 3 days. I'm like, I'm just going to ask, and if it makes you uncomfortable, well, welcome to my world. I'm uncomfortable every day. But, like, you know, so I think that is really it, is if you need to know something, ask, and trust that you can say whatever you want. Mm. You can. I mean, don't be a dick, but, like, you can, there, what is meant for you is not going to miss you. So operate from that idea that you can be authentically yourself. You don't have to edit everything you say, because I think that's also a problem we have too, is that, like, now we do so much of our communicating via text, even in relationship, that, like, we think we have to perfectly articulate ourselves, but when we don't speak like that in person, you know? So just trust your feelings. You know, you can't perfectly edit your life, so it's better that the person you're dating sees those emotional highs and lows than the perfectly edited version of you, because you're too scared to let them see those highs and lows.
I've had that experience in the past where I was, like, so adamant on being, like, the best version of myself and just placing so much energy on projecting this edited version out. And then it's so exhausting trying to maintain that in the relationship. And then when finally you let go of that image you've been projecting and you finally let yourself be yourself, then all of a sudden the relationship isn't working out, or they don't, like, you know, like, it's just, it saves you so much time and unnecessary energy and resources when you're just yourself right off the bat. There's no pretending.
Oh, yeah. You want to know what's crazy, for lack of a better term, is it's so funny because, like, I am pretty open about having complex PTSD, and which was at first diagnosed as borderline, which is no longer, like, was a misdiagnose. There has not been one person I have ever dated that I have told. So, like, they date me the whole time, and I am dealing with, like, emotional flashbacks and triggers and, like, this really intense experience. And, like, if people want us to do an episode on my experience with it, complex PTSD, I would love it, but... I've literally never told, for some reason, because as soon as I'm, like, dating, I'm like, oh my god, this is the most broken part of me.
Gotta hide it.
But, like, do you know how, like, it, do you know how hard it is to be in a relationship with PTSD and they don't know?
Ugh.
Like, that's how, like, in control I had to be all of the time, to just be like, be chill, just be chill, girl. No, I'm calm, cool, I'm collected. And then I go home and I'm like, I'm not any of those things. Having meltdown. So I find it is one of those things where you're like, I'm going to be the best version of me. But, like, the best version of you is just you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's when you stop hiding all of those things that you think make you broken.
Yeah.
That's a sentence? Yeah. Okay. Like, you, I really ruined a good moment with my English. So I think you just have to realize that, again, I'm beating a dead horse at this point. What's meant for you is not going to miss you. And when you show up authentically, people will be drawn to that. You just have to trust, and you have to believe in your worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is hard.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to just, like, sum it up, is learn to be yourself. Learn to be...
super easy. Just learn to be yourself.
Learn to be yourself, you know? Just, like, be authentic. Be authentic. Learn to be alone and just trust that the right relationship will just magically appear and it'll be easy.
Yeah. You don't have to do any work. Just basically exist and breathe and it will find you.
This is what we've been doing and it's been going great.
Super. I have not been single for a whole year. Has it been a year?
I think so. I don't even know anymore.
It's been 3 years for me. Yeah. So.
But no, honestly, relationships are such a valuable learning experience. Oh, 100%. And they're fun.
They are. You have to make it fun. Yeah. You have to, like, I think also stop being, like, embarrassed by the dating process, because it is truly a process.
It's messy.
And I think we get really hard on ourselves that we're like, I'm on my 10th date. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make it fun. Have fun. I remember somebody... my old boss, actually, her and I were talking about it, and she's like, oh, I had so much fun in that phase. And I was like, there is nothing fucking fun about this. And then, but that was the problem, is that was my attitude. I was like, I hate this. This sucks. But you do just have to make it fun and make it, like, a learning experience, and find a friend that you can, like, laugh about it with.
Yeah.
And be like, that's a terrible thing happened, or I said this, or, like, this is what happened. This is so embarrassing. Like, because then if you feel any type of shame around dating or showing up as yourself or anything like that, if you put it in the light, it can't live there, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, find a buddy that you can just, like, laugh about it with, mm-hmm. and just make it fun.
Yeah. Dating can be such an adventure. And I think that's how I've been approaching it lately now, because it's, like, but in the past, I've always been putting so much energy on manifesting the perfect partner, like, the one.
Right.
But now I'm on my manifestation list right now. It's just...
the next one.
It's just... dating experience. I just want dating experience. I don't want to find the one. I just want to find those authentic relationships where I can just learn those lessons and have fun while doing it. And it's, you don't have to put so much pressure on ourselves to date the perfect people all the time, or to be the perfect dating partner. Yeah. It's just, it's fun. And we have to allow it to be fun.
Absolutely. Do you have any bad dating stories? I have several.
Okay, so... this one guy, so this was maybe my third year in university, and this guy, like, we knew each other just from, like, mutual friends, and so I knew him, and he knew me, and he reached out to me on Instagram one day, and he's like, hey, do you wanna hang out, and, like, let's meet up, and let's just hang out. And so I was like, yeah, okay, like, what do you want to do? And I was expecting, like, oh, let's go to the bar, let's have a couple drinks, or let's go get coffee. No, he's like, I have an extra longboard. Let's go longboarding. And I haven't been longboarding since, like, junior high. So I was like, okay, fine. Like, let's just give it a go. And so the whole time we were, like, longboarding, he was, like, 5 paces in front of me the whole time, because he was just faster. And I have, like, shorter limbs, and he had longer strides. And so he wasn't taking it slow with me, and he was just going so fast, and then he was talking the entire time, and I didn't get a word in. He was just, like, talking a lot, and I was, like, just the whole time, I was, like, oh, like, this is fine. Like, I could, like, kind of keep up with the conversation a little bit, and, like, with longboarding, and it was fast-paced. Like, I feel like everything was just going on a blur. And so it was, like, maybe, like, half an hour of this, and he's, like, okay, like, what do you think? Like, let's head back and call it a day. And I was like, oh, thank God. Yes, like, this was more than enough. And so we were on our way back, and there's this hill, and he just goes straight down the hill. And I'm like,
oh my gosh,
okay, I can do this. And so I start going, and I kind of forget how to stop on a longboard. And so I'm gaining speed, and I'm going full speed down this hill. And he's just standing there watching me at this point. And then I go to, like, bail, but then I trip over my feet, and I just biff it in the grass. And I'm, like, like, embarrassingly just, like, skid. And he's just laughing, and I'm trying to laugh it off. But I was so embarrassed, and it was just, like...
Were you hurt?
I think I got, like a rash, or, like, a skid mark or whatever on my arm.
Road rash,
yeah. But it was just, like, one of those days where I was, like, I was just annoyed with the whole experience overall. And then to have it end as me, like, wiping out in front of him. And I was just like, ah, oh, I hate this. And I was so embarrassed. And we never hung out again after that. Because I just refused. I was like, no, like, never
absolutely
again.
Absolutely not. Yeah. No way.
So that's probably, like, my worst date.
Oh, see, mine are, like, truly terrible.
Yeah, I want to hear yours.
I feel like that's funny. All your stories
it wasn't funny to me though.
No, I don't know.
I was gonna say, the time I was just like fed up and annoyed.
Yes,
and
all your it's funny because like the other story you told was also you eating yeah. shit in front of two.
There's a theme going
your
on
childhood.
Here.
I'm trying to think which one to pick. This one might not seem. It was more just like I was absolutely floored. So picture this: the year's 2021.
Okay,
it's March. Might have been April. I'm unemployed for the third time. My parents, they're buying me groceries because I'm fucking broke. Because we're going on, I think, 4 or 5 months on this stint of unemployment.
Mm.
So I'm talking to this dude. Seems super cool. I'm going to say it first. I don't have a problem if you're short. I don't. Don't lie about it. Don't tell me you're taller than you are. Because I'm only 5'6". So if you're shorter than 5'6",
you'll know.
I'm gonna notice if you told me you're 5'8". I'm gonna notice. So we had whatever, we meet up for coffee. At this point, like he's told me how much money he makes.
Oh,
so
wow.
I know hourly, like the dude is wealthy. We go to Starbucks, it's pandemic, no you can't sit in anywhere, so we have to sit in his vehicle. I ordered a tea. He orders an $8 latte. We're standing at the till. Just standing there. And he does that, like, fake pat where he's like, oh, I forgot my wallet.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this a joke? Because I've already told you I'm a traditionalist. But also, I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
And I can't afford $10 at Starbucks. I can't even buy myself groceries at this point. And I was like, okay, like, I got it. And he just, like, has the audacity to be like, well, did you want me to e-transfer you money? And secretly, I want to be like, yeah.
Please.
Like, I can't afford this. Like, yeah. If I knew I was paying, we wouldn't have done this. Like, and it was, like, just the worst, like, 3 hours. It was 3 hours sitting
in
this
field. 3 hours?
Because I can't be like, I have to go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, I had to say no to e-transferring, but I couldn't put gas in my car that week. I had to pay, like, so that was, like, one of the ones where I was just like, this is not
good.
And then, I think the absolute worst one was actually the date to me meeting my most recent ex was, we went for a walk, because, again, it was COVID times, and he was another person who lied about his height, so if y'all could stop doing that, that would be great, because I'm not tall, so, I'm not short, but I'm not tall. So we go again. He is shorter than me. Fine, whatever. But he lied about it. The entire time, he tells me how he basically wants to watch the world burn. He thinks the entire world should burn and everyone should die. I was like, that's cool.
Jesus.
How much he loves to make people cry. That if, like, people... If he makes someone cry at work that day, he considers it a good day.
And you dated this guy?
No, this was a date I went on.
Oh,
just one date. No.
This
was
the first date of your most recent ex.
No, it was like the last date where I was like, I am not dating.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to go on a date with the person I ended up actually being in a relationship with.
Okay.
And because I wasn't going to go on it because I was like, this sucks. So then we're actually like, he has the audacity. We're walking back and I don't remember how we got on the topic of like iron. And he's like, yeah, like, that's actually why women are so bad at directions, like, because they have low iron. And I'm like,
what's the logic in that?
What? And then he's like, we all know that everyone knows the unspoken truth that, like, men are smarter than women. And I was like, what?
Excuse fucking me.
So then we're walking back to the vehicle. He doesn't even walk me to my vehicle. We have to walk him to, I walk him to his vehicle. And then he's, like, talking about this, like, cartoon show, and I was like, I don't really like cartoons. And he was like, because I don't enjoy cartoons. And he's like, you'll like this one. I was like, oh, it was Rick and Morty. I was like, I won't. And he's like, I'm gonna make you watch it. And I was like, yeah, you're not gonna make me do anything. Like, I'm a grown-up. And he was like, you sound like a toddler who won't eat their broccoli. And I was like, because I won't watch cartoons? Yeah. I was like, not interested. And he's like, I'm going to make you. And I was like, I'll just go on my phone. Like, if I were to ever see this person again, I wouldn't. But I was like, I'll just go on my phone. He's like, I'll smash it.
I was like, oh my God.
Actual fuck. And then, like, so at the end, I was, like, trying to, this isn't true, I didn't care, but I was, like, trying to not have to hug him, and I was, like, hey, you know, like, I'm not comfortable hugging, like, COVID, like, you never know. He's, like, I don't care. Puts me in this big hug, and I was, like, what the fuck? He's, like, text me when you get home. Didn't text when I got home. Text him the next day to just be, like, hey, we're not each other's people, man. Like, nope. That was fucking terrible. And then, legitimately, every time I'm on a dating app, he super likes me. And I just wanted to be like, you thought that went well, hey? No, it was fucking horrible. Wow. Especially when he was like, everyone knows women are stupid.
Yeah, that's the cherry on top of it all.
And then, like, let me smash your phone. Oh. I want the world to die. I was like, I can see why you're single.
So this is how not to get a girlfriend, guys.
Yes.
Take some notes here.
Oh, man, I feel like I've had one successful dinner date. It, like, they're just, you're just kind of blown away by people. You're just like, wow. Yeah. Makes a sense. But anyways, shall we cut her off there, my friend?
That was a good way to end it.
Yeah. If you have dating stories, I want to hear them. Yes, so send them our way, please. I would love to hear people's terrible online dating stories.
And maybe successful dating stories.
No, I don't want to hear successful. I just like when they're funny and bad.
I just need some proof that
it works. It works. I think the thing is, though, is I know so many people in relationship with people on dating online apps.
Really?
Like husbands. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I kind of refuse to go on dating apps.
They like just I said, feel, there's an age gap between you and I.
Yeah.
You'll get there. If you don't find your person prior to that, your mindset around it will change because your life will change a lot.
Mm. All right.
It's all good. They're fine. See you next time.
See you next time, guys. Thanks for being here.